Naeem Fazel podcast episode 4. Oh man, we are in this new podcast studio here.
Yes, we are.
Naeem was
fancy
right before we got started here. What is this story you were just about to tell?
Oh, I was going to tell you. So this is for podcast listeners only. So Saturday night, was it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday night, I was looking at my face on like one of those mirrors, you know, like those close-up, zoomed-in ones, yeah. And so I noticed, like, a blackheads. Now, I'm not a blackheads kind of guy. Like, I don't worry about them. But I looked at my nostrils, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I need some help. So I was like, I gotta wax them or do something. And I don't know what I was thinking, but I found Ashley's leg waxing strips. And I was like, oh, you know what, I'm trying to use, like, a little bit of this. And I'm just going to wax a little bit of my blackheads off my nose. And I was like, oh, this is good. So I just started doing it. And I was like, oh, man, these are good. This is getting it all. And I just kept on going. I don't know if you can notice.
Now I can.
Now you can. I have permanently scarred my nose.
Have you told Ashley this
Oh,
yet?
Gosh.
Are you too embarrassed?
Oh, no. They saw it. I think everybody on Sunday at church saw it, too.
That's why you had the lights turned down.
I know. I was like, oh. In fact, my daughter, 12-year-old daughter, 13-year-old Nura, she put makeup on my nose. She's like, I can fix this, Dad. But it was no fixing it. It was so yeah, I think I peeled off.
You did. I can see it.
You can see it? You can see it anyways. So, yeah.
We'll post a close up to your Instagram.
Yeah. So anyways,
why those mirrors are from the devil himself.
Oh,
they see everything.
They truly are. And this is actually a great lead-in to the conversation I want to have, and that's talking about sacred sins. Okay. Here's why. Here's the lead-in. Because I think like sometimes we become really aware of our imperfections and that we're not okay and we're not right, and then we do things to cover them up
wax them off.
And but I think this idea about sin is a conversation we want to have because, one, we did this two-part series at Mosaic, and I called it sacred sins. And I want to explain why they're sacred. I mean, you asked me about, you know, right? Why are they?
Why are they sacred? Because I remember when you first pitched this idea, I was like, okay, you said scary sins?
Right. Yeah.
Sacred sins.
Yeah, okay. Why? Exactly.
Why?
Yeah. Why is sacred? Because sacred, the word there means, you know, obviously or implies like holy, pure, reverent, and then sin. You attach those two words together. Sin is everything bad, and sacred is everything good. And how do you link them together?
Right.
I believe they are truly linked. Here's why. Because there is in fact a holiness to the horror that we as humans are able to either inflict, come up with, or suffer through. And the reason is because the way God made us, we're so complicated, we're so complex, and part of our psyche, part of our, makeup is the fact that we are capable of so much good, but then yet we're capable of so much evil as well. And there's a sacredness to how we are created. Like, I mean, I've talked about this before, but like the human being is the only being that contains or has the ability to contain divine and the natural. I mean, so God stepped into human flesh, and so he was all divine. Then he created a being that houses both natural and the supernatural. I mean, just think about it, right? And so obviously there are imperfections when it comes to being human, but then there is also perfections that come to being human. And I think that's something to be celebrated, is something to just stop and go, I'm more than, you know, all the imperfections of my body or my abilities. No, I'm created with intention. And so I need to honor that. I mean, we just need to honor the fact that we have bodies, to honor the fact that we are human beings, because no other beings are human. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And so sacred sin, I think it's important. Let's clear this up. What is sin?
Yeah. So the sin is... Could be a list of things that you deem that you should not do, or God deems that you shouldn't do, or society does, or a particular religion does. But sin really ultimately is violating your conscience, violating the things you know you're not supposed to do or you should not do. And like, you know you should do this, you should have this conversation, you should say this, not say this, and you do it anyways. I think that's really closest to the definition of the scriptures, where Jesus talked about missing the mark. Like, you're missing the mark of, you know, this is what you're really supposed to do, get to, you know, possess, and you don't do it. It's more than just a list of things, because, you know, sin for me is not sin for you. Mm-hmm. And if we get into making lists, then we are standardizing everything, and we're normalizing, in a sense, everything. And we take out the sacredness, the specialness of the human experience. So I just say, you're just like me, so all the rules apply to you, and you just need to act like me. So the idea is uniformity and not uniqueness. And God's goal is not uniformity, it's uniqueness. And that's why I think there's a sacredness to it, because sacredness means that there is a special, holy uniqueness about the struggles we face. Mm. And so when it comes to sin, number one, people don't like talking about it because it's connected to evil, bad, disgusting. But let's just call it struggles.
Yeah.
It's sacred struggle. If I were to say struggles,
right,
it would just make sense, right?
Nobody would think twice about it.
Exactly. So now let's talk about why are struggles sacred? The reason why they're sacred sins is because if I come to you and I say, hey, I am struggling with this. Mm-hmm. I have these thoughts. I have these things that are connected to either I want to do something that's not good for me.
Right.
I feel things that are not true. I think these things about myself or someone else. And if I confess them to you, if I make them, you know, if I express them in such a way that you're like, and they're very emotional, and I tell you in secret,
yeah,
they're not secret sins, they're sacred. The reason why they're sacred is because I have opened my soul up to you. Now you get to hold them.
Yeah.
So you can either hold them with a sense of holiness or a sense of sacredness, or you can just go, no, I'm going to talk about them.
Right.
I'm going to gossip. I'm going to take your stuff and I'm going to share it to everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back to, like, you were raised Catholic, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Sort of Catholic.
That was right? My idea of church was the Catholic church.
Yeah. I mean, the name like Vinnie Candelora, you're definitely Catholic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Somewhat.
All right. Come on. But so confessional booths.
Right.
Confessional booths are in where? The church.
Mm-hmm.
They're a very sacred moment practice where you have a person who is trusted, who can be trusted, supposedly,
yeah,
can be trusted, you know, and then there's a intimate, private moment, but there's a separation as well, and then the person says, forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. I mean, there's a reverence. See, all of those are connected to us. There's a sacredness to our sins, and unless we as a society don't remove this taboo, this weirdness of sins, we're not going to have honest conversations about the struggles, about the things, the thoughts, the ideas that people struggle with. Because sin in itself grows. I mean, the scriptures talk about it. We know, like, a thought can come into your soul, and if you let it fester, it will turn into something else.
Yeah.
Like, it just grows. So an annoyance becomes a dislike, and a dislike turns into maybe like a hatred, and yeah, a hatred all of a sudden becomes an enemy. And then as soon as that person or that thought becomes the enemy, now you're justified to treat them however you want
right
to. I mean, we see this in the political parties all the time. I mean, it is ridiculous. I mean, yeah, I came from the Middle East, and so I got thrown into the whole Republican and Democrat idea, and I can't believe it. I mean, I'm not used to politics,
right,
even in Pakistan, but I just thought they were just unruly society because they kill people. But here, I mean, you can turn on the news, and it doesn't matter what side you're in. Like, when people are on one side, they feel they have the right to, man, demolish,
mm-hmm,
and verbally abuse, in fact, the, yeah, other party. people on the other party.
Yeah. I mean, there's any sort of divide, and it's like, I have the right.
You have the right to do it. And so what has happened? What's happened is that the things we struggle with, we're not talking about it. We don't want to confront, hey, you probably shouldn't do this, because we're like, hey, that's not good. That's not pure. That's not healthy. That's not life-giving. And so we just go, well, I've got a list of things that are sinful. I'm not doing those. Yeah. Well, that's not the point. You know, it's like Jesus saying, oh, if you even look at this woman with impure thoughts, you've already committed adultery. He took it to the extreme because he knew if you let something in, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger.
Right.
But I think we come back to like going, okay, so how do we do this? Yeah. I think we acknowledge that sins are sacred. Our struggles are sacred. There's a holiness to our horror. There is a sense of like, my thoughts are unique, and I have to have an ability to, or not ability, I have to have permission to share that. And I think if people don't talk about their brokenness, if people don't talk about their abuse, if they don't talk about the things that frighten them and what causes them to do certain things because of either fear, intimidation, abuse, loneliness, we're not going to address bigger issues like violence.
Right.
I mean, with our city in Charlotte, I mean, UNCC campus, you got this guy who comes in and starts shooting.
Yeah.
And we don't know for what reason. I mean, it's ironic. He lived in your apartment complex.
Yeah, the connectivity of like everything that happened is just, I mean, that's honestly the craziest thing for me. I mean, the closest I had ever felt to something like this tragically happening was last year, end of last year when the synagogue in Pittsburgh,
right,
the shooting happened. I didn't personally know anybody, but that's my hometown of Pittsburgh, and that was the closest I had ever felt to something personally like that until this. Now, I mean, just at our church, we have so many people, either students or faculty of UNCC, student leaders, and even students thinking about going there. And then to know that the guy who committed this just act of hate lives under the same roof that I do, or lived under the same roof that
I
did.
Right.
So it's I think the craziest part for me was just how much everybody wants to disconnect themselves and disconnect the spiritual world from what is happening. Everyone just, I think, looks at all these different things and they're like, oh, this is just the craziness of the world. And this is just crazy and it's out of control. But if it's just, it's a different reality when you know that spirituality connects it all.
Right.
And there's just, you don't know how, but it's impossible to look at this and think, you know, we're connected for some reason. These physical things that are happening in the spiritual realm, like you said, like we're created with both of these things inside of us. And when you rule out one side or the other, it starts making you feel like, I'm not really connected to this. But I mean, we are. Like,
We so are. And I think what we have to make sure that we kind of address is the fact that if we don't talk about our brokenness, and if we don't have context or environments where people can talk about their brokenness and the things that they struggle with, and to kind of make their sins sacred, if we don't do that, we're gonna have people who are trying to figure out their feelings, they're trying to figure out their thoughts, their ideas, their emotions, and if they don't have a place, they're going to act it out, or they're going to look at some kind of idea or ideal out there to express it. So for some people, it's violence to actively make a stand or to make sure that they make a statement. And see, violence sometimes is basically people making a statement, getting attention, trying to change the world, get people to notice them, do something that people will stop and consider them, stop and realize that they exist as a person.
Right.
And if we can create places, if we can create a space, a language that says, hey, listen, you can feel whatever you feel. Like, you are allowed to feel whatever you're feeling. Mm-hmm. I mean, just that thought alone.
Yeah.
Giving people permission to feel whatever. Like, in the feelings, some are very real and true, and some are not.
Mm-hmm.
Some are not real, and some are not true. Some are just, I'm hungry because I'm hungry, and I'm irritated because I'm hungry. I mean, it's chemical reactions. So that's not the true, but we have to create an environment that people can go, why are you feeling this way? Right. Why are you attracted to this? What is going on with you? Why do you need to take drugs? What's going on? Again, it's this idea of sacredness. It's the sense of, hey, the people around us, do they have permission to feel whatever feelings they're feeling? Do they have permission to express those feelings? Because if we start mandating how people should feel, if we start mandating how people should react to certain things, if we tell our kids, if we tell our friends, if we tell each other, if you tell our souls, no, don't even feel this. No, you should not feel this. There's a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
We basically tell our souls, hey, you can't be angry at God. You can't be mad at him. You can never say this to him. You can never say this to this person. You can never be honest. Well, there's no way you're ever going to be holy if you're not honest.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just go, no, we just have to be holy. So that's just, like, we just got to cover it up, mm-hmm. cover it up. No. It's the exposing it. It's the letting it, you take away the power. You take away the sting of it. You take away the scariness, all of those things that are just connected to quote unquote sin.
Mm-hmm.
Once you take away those things, you make it sacred. You go, no, this is special. Even though the thoughts you're having are awful, they are awful,
yeah.
but still, there's something. I mean, you know, no kid was born with a desire to be a violent person.
Right. Nobody wakes up and they're like, you know what? I want these like terrible thoughts in my mind today. I want these.
Right.
Like,
right. Just... No one does that. I mean, they just don't. And things cause people to do certain things that they regret. We know this.
Yeah. And I think eventually it gets to a point, like you said, if it's not talked about, you wake up and you actually, your brain is tricked and you're like, actually, you know what? I do want these thoughts, because, and that's when these crazy things can happen.
Right.
But what you're saying is, before it gets to that point, if there's a place and a space for you to say, hey, I'm starting to have this impure thought, I'm starting to have this. And if we don't just keep it inside, we can actually prevent from ever getting to that, that point.
Yeah, exactly. And I think so courage is the first step towards number one, creating an environment where you can share sins, where you can confess sins, where you can talk about them. It requires courage. Courage to, number one, create a place where you allow people to do that, but also courage within yourself to go, I'm going to talk about this. And so you can't bypass courage. There is no way. If we're going to really look at sin without the guilt and shame of it, if we're really going to make them sacred, if we're going to, I would even say, be like Jesus, if we were going to have people around us that love us and know us, courage has got to be the first step. Courageous people make room for sacred sins. I mean, courageous people don't get offended, don't overreact. Courageous parents, courageous friends, courageous coworkers allow people, give people permission to feel whatever they're feeling, knowing that they're not all true, but they're just feeling them. Courageous people do that. Courageous people stop and consider what they're saying, feeling to themselves. You can't really bypass courage. It's going to take courage to open yourself up, to be honest, to really kind of stand there going, I'm going to let you judge me. I'm going to expose myself. I'm going to do this. Now, obviously, you got to be extremely careful on who you confess this stuff to.
Yeah.
Because, again, you might be courageous, but the other person lives in fear. And so you might, and we've done this before, you've shared something and the other person does not know how to take it because they're concerned about how it affects them. And so sometimes it's extremely hard to go, I feel this, because I can feel something about you, Vinny, and you might not be the person that you talk to about that because it's connected to you.
Yeah.
And so if I can't say, oh, I just want to share this, I'm being courageous. You need to be courageous enough to take it.
Yeah, that's, you can't force courage.
No, exactly. So I gotta say, okay, I'm having this issue. I've got to talk about this. I'm feeling these thoughts about Vinny. I need to share with someone else that's not Vinny,
right?
That is courageous enough to take what I've shared and give me some honest feedback.
Yeah,
and then I can. I don't need to share my sin.
Right.
To Vinny or my struggle, I can actually work on it.
Yeah.
And the product of that is how I react to Vinny.
Right. And there's such a difference between talking to someone about somebody else to find a solution to actually help yourself and gossiping about somebody else.
Totally. Yes.
And people confuse that a lot.
Of course they do. And what people tend to do is this. The reason why some people gossip without even knowing it is because, especially because if they're struggling with something, is that they're not trained to, or they haven't seen this happen in real life, and so they don't know what to do. So what happens is it's easier for me to just go to talk to three people about you and say, don't you think it's kind of, man, I can't believe he's so annoying when he does this or when he says this or when he does that. And, you know, those guys, you know, from Pittsburgh. I mean, seriously, he's wearing yellow all the time.
It's gold.
It's gold, it's whatever. Gold. The studio actually is black.
That's why we picked this.
Yeah, the studio is actually yellow. And
you're slowly converting.
I know. I'm being
Steeler fan.
Steeler fan. Yeah. So
that's it's a football team, by the way.
Whatever. So it's easier for me to talk to four people because here's what I'm not doing. I'm not really being vulnerable to one person. I'm just kind of throwing it out there, and I just want reassurance. See, when you talk to several people about one person, you want reassurance. Mm. You're trying to get people on your side. You're not trying to process anything. You're trying to recruit.
Yeah.
But if you're talking to one person, you're actually trying to not recruit. You're trying to process this and go, okay, where am I sinning in this? Like, what's my struggle in this?
Yeah.
That's the answer.
Definitely important to see, hey, you know, I feel this way.
Yeah.
Is it me?
Exactly.
Sometimes
exactly.
Asking the question, you know, I feel this way about this person, but is this me?
Yeah.
Because sometimes we just say, this is what's wrong with this person, and I can't believe they did this, blah, blah, blah. But like stopping and being like, how am I playing a role in this?
Yeah. And I think if we don't create environments like that, I mean, I don't want to make this out to be, you know, easy solution, but I do believe that a lot of the things we see in society is because of a lack of courage to make space for people to share their sins and to understand that their sins are sacred. If we as a society, as we as people, as we church community, as friends, family members, wives, husbands, parents, if we create a space, then it will change the game.
Yeah.
About sins. Yeah. So I'm hoping this will help. This is, part one of this conversation.
Yeah.
But love for people to give us their comments, ideas, thoughts, share, all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, definitely keep up with us. We're in the studio now, so we have a permanent space where we can do this. We can actually put some content out. We can stay on this. So please share this, like this. YouTube, we post a video podcast. If you want to watch the video podcast, it's just going to be a still image until we figure out the actual video capabilities in the studio. And until your nose heals up,
we're not going to get it. That is ridiculous.
But yeah, Instagram at Naeem Fazel, website naeemfazel.org.
Yes.
You guys can stay up to date with everything we got going on there. We thank you for listening to this.
By the way, really quick, I think I should take a selfie of my nose.
I think you should.
You're right? I don't know. Wow. It doesn't look that bad. Okay, maybe it does. I don't know.
All right. Well, we're gonna go ahead and wrap this up. You guys check out his Instagram and maybe he'll post this picture. Are you gonna share it?
I'm gonna share it after we share this podcast.
Okay.